So the message tonight that I have for us is this. I'm quite excited, and I believe it's going to encourage you, it's going to help you, it's going to equip you in your walk with Jesus. And the title of the message is this: Jesus is still willing, able, powerful. Will you come to him in faith? Jesus is still willing, able, and powerful. Will you come to him in faith? Friends, we went to Zimbabwe, and a while ago, I was in Germany, I was in Australia, I was in, where else? Holland, Poch, Brakpan, and I've discovered this in all these areas of ministries, you really get two types of believers in congregations. First group is this group. They kind of like this. I call them the inactive believers. They are the ones just watching and wondering. They're always there. They're faithful. They're diligent. But they're just watching and wondering. They're looking from a distance. Then you get these other believers. They're in this basket. I call them the active, faith-filled believers that still believe Jesus is willing, able, and powerful. These are the men and women that they do the stuff, and we all just watch and wonder. Wow, wow. Ooh, that looks like fun. And they just carry on doing the exciting things for Jesus because they're hearing, listening, speaking, and doing. Now, my intention tonight, what I believe God wants to do, is depending where you're at, if you're on this side, to grow your faith. If you're on this side, to hop out of this basket and come and stand on the side. And be the active, faithful believer. And starting to have an adventure with Jesus. Because when we walk with Jesus, it's an adventure. He takes us out of our comfort zone consistently. DJ mentioned it this morning, that Jesus is in our face. So we took a team, talking about active, faithful believers, a team to Zimbabwe. It was Brett, Yuri, and Graham. And we went to Zimbabwe, and we had a fun time, and these guys were on this side. The rubber was hitting the tar nonstop for them. They just wanted to go and do this stuff because they had faith in their heart. So we went one day on a street. We walked around during the day, and we believed that the Lord wants to save people. And you know what happened? The Lord saved some people. Graham had an opportunity to talk to a bunch of men, mostly men actually, it's quite strange, standing outside of the bank waiting for money. And he just shared his testimony. A crowd came and he just witnessed. He shared his testimony. Then a lady came and said, "Hey, I've got a headache. Can you pray for me?" I said, "Oh, just hang on. I'm going to call Brett, and Brett will come pray for you." And there's Brett, and he's praying for this lady's headache to be healed. Then we decide to go to the hospital. Now, in the hospital, obviously, there are going to be sick people. So we want to pray for the sick. So we decide to go to the hospital, Graham, Brett, and me, and Yuri. And we go to the hospital. And while we're driving through, I remembered and reminded myself that I don't like hospitals. I became instantly, almost in my heart, an inactive believer. Brett, Graham, Yuri, they looked very excited. I didn't tell them what was going on in my heart. And I got out the car and I realized, I don't like hospitals. I don't like hospitals. What am I doing here? So we broke the team up in two. Brett and Yuri, they went to go and pray for people. And me and Graham Youngerson went to go and pray for people. Obviously, you're going to find sick people at a hospital. So I remembered I let Graham take the lead. I just kind of followed him then. From the leader, I just slipped to the back and he started to walk and I followed him. And then I remembered we went into one ward and it was almost as if the Hulk came out of Graham. He just had all this faith. And he started going to this one, praying for this one, praying for this one, praying for this one. And I'm standing thinking, oh my goodness, I don't like the hospital. I don't like seeing sick people. I don't like seeing blood. I'm freaking out. And then I walk and there's this hospital bed and there's this guy laying on the bed with no shoes on. And his feet look like slap chips. There's all this stuff coming out there and it's pus. And I'm cringing on the inside and I'm smiling and I'm looking at his feet and I'm looking at him. A well-educated guy says, "What happened to you?" "I don't know. I was at a tree doing some work and a snake came and bit me." I said, "Oh, that's not nice." He goes, "No, it's not nice." I said, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Please." Prayed for him, looked at his feet. Okay. And then I was about to leave. He said, "Oh, can you please pray for my eyes? I can't see you." I said, "What do you mean you can't see me?" I said, "I can't see you." I said, "Oh, okay." Laid my hand. I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I ask you to heal him. Amen." He said, "Oh, thank you." I said, "Sorry?" He goes, "I can see you." "You can see me?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Oh, okay, good." Yes, got one. I was so excited. I went from inactive to being an active believer. I mean, I was going around and then praying. I was very, very excited then. Then we came around the section and I looked down the alleyway. I saw the strange sight. There's this guy on his knees. I'm thinking, who is that? And he's praying for the people. And I look and it's Brett. He's outside of ICU, if I'm correct, and he's praying for every single person. Hands on praying. Next. And he's just going for it. So I thought, wow, his faith is working. He's not the inactive believer. He said, you know what, Lord, you're willing, powerful Jesus, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to trust you. And then Yuri brings this guy, this pastor, and we chat and we pray for this pastor, and that's it. And then afterwards, we end up in the market. Now, the four of us kind of stand out because we're the only South Africans in this market. All right, so go figure. And out of the blue, you just hear this Afrikaans name in the market. Yuri, Yuri, Yuri. I think, what the heck? And here comes this guy running. Yeah, Yuri, Yuri. And they like have a bit of a ceremony. They hug each other. They're talking. They're all happy. I'm thinking, wow, it's this pastor. Comes out. He came running to share the testimony. Brett prayed for me. And this guy had this incredible pain in his neck. Sharp like a knife pain. And he was there to go to the doctor. To go to the doctor to get healed. But as he went in, he realized the pain's gone. So the doctor, you know, the pain's gone. All right. So now, Brett went to this man in faith, believing Jesus is willing, able, and powerful, and he prayed for him. Now this guy's coming to us in faith, telling us the report. We were excited, so we told him, why don't you come to the meeting? Now, because we're not very good at the detail, we got the times mixed up and the venues, but it wasn't my fault. It was the pastor's fault there that we're ministering to. So we were supposed to be at a meeting at 1 o'clock, but the venue changed, but we told this pastor to come to that meeting. It was a pastor that we prayed for. So he went to that meeting, only to realize we weren't there. But we were coming there later on at 5 o'clock. This guy got healed because Brett had faith in his heart and he exercised his faith. He came to us, then he traveled to the meeting in faith, believing that he's going to receive something from Jesus. He ended up waiting over 5 hours. We rocked up later on, and you're still sitting there. He received in that meeting at the end. We prayed for him. The point that I'm making is this. Can you see how the hand of faith works? We just don't know what happens when we take simple, Bible-believing faith, believing that Jesus is able, powerful, and willing. When we start to reach out, how it spreads like a wildfire everywhere that Jesus is alive, he's willing and able. And my intention right now is to try to move us from this side to that side. Maybe you are like me at that hospital, cringing at the thought of praying for people that are sick or whatever. Maybe you're on this side. I'm hoping after tonight that you move on this side. Can you turn with me to Mark 5:21? I'm reading out the ESV version. There's kind of two stories in this portion of Scripture. Mark 5:21. And when Jesus crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him. And he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well. And he went with him. Friends, Jesus always responds to faith. And Jesus went with him. It's an amazing story. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus. That's a key word. She heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, that's another key word, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. Now, friends, this is not really going to be a message about healing the sick. It's going to be about message, how do we touch Jesus? And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceived in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Can you see in this portion of scripture, there's two people, inactive believer and active believers. Lots of people, but only one receiving. And she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. I don't know about you, if my daughter's dead, and you can tell me, don't fear, only believe, I'm like, what? She's dead, don't fear, only believe. Those of you that have got children, put yourself in that situation. Jesus says, don't fear, only believe. Anyway, long story short, Jesus goes to the house and he raises that girl to life. Can you see underneath this whole two stories, is undergirded is faith. Faith, faith. Believing in Jesus. Just some background context. Mark is writing this letter to Roman believers in Rome. These are non-Jewish people. They're people like us. It's the shortest gospel. It's action-packed. And Mark is writing to these believers in Rome because they're suffering persecution. And they're suffering. And he's writing to these believers in Rome a letter to paint a picture of who Jesus is, that he's the God-man, fully God, fully man. And he's writing a letter to them to increase their faith and lift off discouragement. Friends, when persecution and suffering and hardship comes our way, there's a tendency for our faith to get less and less and less and less and less. And the less our faith gets, the easier it is for doubt and unbelief to creep in. And when doubt and unbelief creeps in, the next thing is disobedience. And before you realize it, we're gone. But great faith will always result to great obedience. And Mark is writing this letter. And Jesus is crossing over the Sea of Galilee. On both sides, Jesus is ministering. And he crosses over the sea, and this guy, Jairus, comes to him and says, Jesus, Jesus, come and help me. He comes to Jesus in faith. Jesus responds in faith. And he starts to walk to Jairus' house. Then there's this big crowd, and these people are pushing in. Come in quickly, Anton. Stand up here quickly. There's a big crowd and there's people all over Jesus and they're pushing in because they want to see what's going on. And Jesus is on a mission. He's going somewhere and there in the distance, go stand down there, play. In the distance is a woman with the issue of blood. Friends, this woman had this issue for 12 whole years. She used up all her money bleeding. According to the Old Testament, she was ceremonially unclean. You see this distance? That distance, she had to stay like that, an outcast. She couldn't even get into the community. She couldn't even walk into this building. She must actually leave the building. Thanks, Anton. She was considered an outcast because of her issue of blood. If you touched this woman, you then were considered unclean, according to the Old Testament. She couldn't have normal relationships with her family. Her family couldn't even touch her. Shame, poor lady, she can't even get married. She's considered an outcast. She has a condition. She's bleeding. She never asked for it. She can't get fixed. She spent all her money with the doctors. She's facing disgrace, shame in her body. She's probably walking around thinking, yeah, God must really hate me. Look at me. I can't even go to the temple to worship. She can't even touch people. Jewish men, if they found out about this, they wouldn't even look at her. And if you touched her, you had to go through a process of getting yourself cleaned. That's the condition of this woman that she's in. But she hears about Jesus. She breaks through the crowd. Everybody's touching Jesus. And she says to herself, if I may just touch him, I'll be made well. She slips through, she bumps everybody, and she touches him. She feels power coming through, and Jesus feels power leaving. She gets her healing, and she disappears again in the crowd. Jesus stops the whole commotion, and he says, who touched me? The disciples are thinking, who touched you? Can't you see? There's people everywhere, Jesus. No, who touched me? He ignores his disciples, and he stops this whole commotion. He says, who touched me? This girl comes with fear and trembling because she knows now she's going to be exposed. And all those she touched are going to look at her. They should do that to her. That's why she comes in with fear and trembling. And interesting, Jesus says, my daughter. Jesus has not met her before. Why is Jesus giving her a family name right now? My daughter. He's restoring her straight back into community. And he says, my daughter. They haven't met. She hasn't had a conversation with him. He says, hey, my daughter. He's putting her straight back into community. She's been living like an outcast, disgraced, pushed aside. The issue of blood. And then Jesus says, peace. We'll look just now what that word peace means. But it's not just like, hey, peace, brother. It has much more to do what Jesus spoke over, peace. So friends, 3 points from that scripture that we can apply. Just 3 points and that's it. Point number one, if you can turn to verse 27, you can make a note in your Bible. Verse 27 says this. She heard the reports about Jesus. She heard the reports about Jesus. Friends, you too have heard the reports about Jesus. Can I remind you, point one, to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. Jesus is not Mickey Mouse. Sometimes we have to step back and remind ourselves that he's fully God, fully man. He's powerful, he's willing, he's able, and nothing's impossible for him. Remind ourselves of who he is and remind ourselves of what he has done in the past. Friends, we too in this church have seen what Jesus can do. We have seen over and over people coming here and giving their life to Jesus. We too have seen Jesus restore marriages in this church. We too have seen Jesus set people free of addictions in this church. We too have seen Jesus heal people in this church. Sorry. We too have seen Jesus do incredible miracles. We too have heard of the reports about people tithing and Jesus doing great things. We are a people of faith. We have great faith already. When you're going to pray for someone or do something, remind yourself. Yourself sometimes. When there's no pastor, no leader in your room, remind yourself, oh Jesus, you've done all these great things. You are God, I trust you. And then also, share the stories nonstop of what you have seen and heard Jesus do. Nonstop. When we share the stories, we release faith into other people's lives to receive it. Point number three, verse 28. Sorry, point number two, verse 28. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. Friends, you see this operating. She heard, faith came into her heart. How's your heart with the word of God? Is it like this? No hands in your heart? Or do you have these little faith hands? Most of us do this. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. Meaning this, the word comes in, it doesn't even sink into our hearts, we drop it. And know this, when the word comes, that seed comes here, the Bible says the enemy wants to steal it. We need little hands in our hearts to grab the word. So she put her full trust in Jesus. I've got my son's shoes. Now you're probably thinking, what's with all these illustrations? Friends, I've been using illustrations for a very, very long time. I want to encourage you, even in your growth groups, if you're a growth group leader, use an illustration. Illustrations help the truth to be locked in a person's mind to remember. I still remember Brett's tithes and offerings because he brought kettles here. I'll be honest, it's the only tithes and offerings message I remember. Because he brought kettlebells and an illustration. It just locks it in the mind. So this woman had faith. Faith is a doing word. Faith has shoes. Faith moves. You see, this woman heard, she believed in her heart that Jesus was willing, able, and powerful, and she started to move towards him. Oh, I've got great faith, brother, but no shoes. Something's wrong. I've got great faith, you'll have movement. That little lady had movement. Maybe childlike faith is what we need again. Just believe in God. Just trusting in Jesus. Interesting, that woman didn't go to the disciples. She bypassed them and went straight to Jesus. She put all her trust in him. When she heard the reports, friends, this woman was in a cage locked up with no key. She was in a cul-de-sac. She was in a dead end. She had no more hope. She used all her money. No more medical aid provision. Nothing. And she heard that he's able. The key came to her. The ray of light came. The prison doors opened. The cul-de-sac was turned to a road. And she heard, she believed in her heart, and she said, she spoke. She said to herself, if I touch him, I'll be made whole. And she went. And friends, you know, interesting, she went just for a need to be met. Am I right? What did Jesus give her? Look there. Verse 38, he said to her, daughter, daughter, they haven't met. Daughter, she came for a need to be met. Jesus gave her more than what she asked for. Jesus, not a genie, rub him, get your needs met, put a coin in, ching, ching. But she came and she got the need. But Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, there was an intimate relationship being formed. He recognized and he put her straight back into community. He brought her straight back to her and he said, daughter, over her. Friends, we need to be so careful about what we say. The words we use can kind of pull someone close or push someone away. Jesus used his words incredibly wise. Daughter. And he pulled her in. And he roped her in. And he connected with her. There we see faith is a relational word. It wasn't just get your healing and go. Jesus stopped and connected with her. And then Jesus used this phrase. He said, peace. Go in peace. Friends, that's not like a gift surface little phrase. That has much more to do with it. That peace be with you suggested more than just peace. It is often used in the Old Testament for the whole peace, the whole peace with God that we gain by being in right covenant relationship with him. He's saying, peace be with you. More than a peace be with God in you. Peace. This girl is probably walking on. If I had an issue of blood for 12 years, I'm thinking God's punished me or something. God must hate me. Because look at all the other women they find, but me. Calls her daughter. Says peace. It brings her close to him. They connect. Faith is a relational word. He connects with her. She came for the need, healing. She came for this, and Jesus gave her that. Friends, can I encourage you, when you come to Jesus to have your needs met, know this, he's able and willing to do more than we can imagine or ask. Put your faith out for more, because he wants to do it. Last point, and I'm done. Living by faith is the only way to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says this. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Can you see that scripture being played out with that woman? She heard, she believed, she diligently sought Him through the crowd, and she touched Him. And He rewarded that. When last have you really touched Jesus? We will know if you touched Jesus. Your wife and husband will know that you touched Jesus. When last have you touched Him with faith? Maybe you say, Jonathan, I don't have any needs. But you can touch Him in worship. You can touch Him because you love Him. You can come and connect with Him and know He's a personal, loving God, Jesus. Friends, I've got a kettle here. It's actually the church's kettle. It's not mine. It is impossible for this thing to work without power. Do you agree? It is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. That's what the Bible says. If it's impossible to please God without faith, then we need to do more teaching on faith in God. Why? To make people more pleasing to God. If it's the only way I can please God, I'm going to have to determine under God how to live by faith and obedience to please Him. There's another illustration we can use this as well. This is money. Not real. I would like it to be real. When it comes to earthly things, if you've got money, we can buy clothes, stuff, phones, Bibles, food, petrol, homes, cars, but no money, no movement. Am I right? No money, no movement. The currency of the kingdom is faith. Little faith, little movement. Lots of faith, lots of movement in the kingdom of God. Whose responsibility is it to grow your faith? You, not mine. You grow in your faith right now, but tomorrow morning, we heard from DJ this morning how to grow our faith. Go and read the Bible. Go and spend time with Jesus. Go and be the salt. Go and be the light. And those illustrations were great this morning because it's locked in our minds. But we need to grow our faith. Can I encourage you, friends, to tithe and sow in faith? Not out of a works mentality. To evangelize by faith, to go to work in faith, to pray in faith, to love in faith, to come to church in faith. If we don't feel like coming to church, go and ask God why. Let Him put faith in our hearts. And in conclusion, friends, I want to tell you that if a broken, disgraced, fearful, frightened woman in the first century has her faith commended by Jesus, then you are welcome to come and trust Christ. That faith that is commended here in this double account is faith that is not only desperate, but broken. It is not the faith of the strong. It is the faith of the weak. It's not the faith of the respected, but the faith of the disgraced. It is not the faith of the bold, but the faith of the frightened. This too is bound up with the object of faith. Jesus Himself, He came as a doctor, comes for the sick. He comes as the miracle worker to do the impossible. He has come as the strong comes for the weak. He came for the broken and the bruised and the guilty. You know what? He does not just want our needs met. He wants a relationship with you, Jesus. Will you come to Jesus knowing He's willing, powerful, and able, and that Jesus deeply, deeply, deeply loves you.